It's the Mike Tech Show, show number 603. This show is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. Please visit techpodcast.com. This show is brought to you in part by Instant House Call. Remotely support your customers unattended and on demand through firewalls. Try it free by clicking on the link on my website at miketechshow.com. Use the promo code MikeTechShow. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the podcast. I'm your host, Mike Smith. Thank you very much for downloading and subscribing to the show. You can email me questions and suggestions for show topics at miketechshow@gmail.com. Leave me a voicemail message. The phone number is 240-949-2450. And that's Mike Tech Show, all one word, on Skype. Follow me on Twitter, twitter.com/MikeTechShow, and facebook.com/MikeTechShow. Tonight's show is predominantly about stories from the trenches, problems I'm actively working on or have worked on in the past week. Lots of stuff to talk about. I only have two emails. I'll get to them when I'm done all my stories. I have some music for tonight. I have Christmas music because this is probably the last show before Christmas. I want to do one next week, but on Thursday, I'm already stacked with a lot of work, and I'm afraid I'm not going to make it to be able to do the show, so I don't want to have it scheduled. Keep following me on Twitter and Facebook, and I'll try to give as much advance warning as possible if there's a surprise show, and I will let you know about it. Right now, the way it's scheduled, the next show will be New Year's Eve, 10 o'clock Eastern Time, 10 p.m., and also look for a live Tech Bets on Tuesday night, December 27th at 8 p.m. Eastern Time. Carrie and I have put a stake in the ground for that. You guys have to be happy and surprised that we're doing more shows again. So we seem to be back in the saddle and hitting a stride, and we're having a lot of fun, and we really enjoy getting together and talking like that. So yeah, very, very entertaining, at least for us. And so we hope you enjoy it. Let's begin with a news item that we just can't avoid. This is Yahoo admitting to another breach where 1 billion accounts exposed. And it was back in 2013. You mean Yahoo did not know about this? I don't believe it for a second. I don't believe it for a second. As a matter of fact, I stated this in the pre-show. If you've been a longtime listener for this show, I have been preaching that you cannot have a Yahoo email, you cannot have an AOL email account, and you can't use a credit card at Target. These places, Target, AOL, and Yahoo, are incapable of securing your information. That's it. They're incapable. And they have proven it over and over and over again. You must heed to these warnings. If you have a Yahoo.com email or an AOL.com email, you must take the efforts to migrate to another service. Yes, I know you've been using it for years and it's difficult and you got to warn everybody and let them know. I know it's painful, but you got to do it. You got to protect yourself. That's all I can say. I can't make you do it. I can just advise you. First link for tonight is an all too regular warning about the Yahoo breach. Just to summarize, they admit that the intrusion that led to the massive data theft and noted that payment card data and bank account information were not stored in the system the company believes was affected. They can't guarantee that. I can't believe anything that Yahoo's telling us. You got to protect your information. At least change your passwords, please, and do that on a more reoccurring basis. Enough about Yahoo. You know what to do, and you got to spread the word. You need long passwords. You need a method for your the security questions, and I've done multiple shows on talking about that. You have to change your passwords. You got to keep an eye on your identity. All credit cards and bank accounts that you use, you must keep on top of that and be diligent to make sure there's no breaches within your financial information and your debit cards, credit cards, checking accounts, whatever banking that you do. You must look at your statements on a regular basis, whether they're online or via paper, and make sure that you are not having any problems, and you have to do that on a regular basis. Here's an interesting thing a client asked me. From Windows 10, they noticed their Windows Defender was not being scheduled for regular scans. And if you look at Windows Defender on Windows 10, you can't schedule it to do a scan within the program. You have to open scheduled tasks. So you open the search for scheduled tasks. Then in the left pane, you expand task schedule library. And it's almost like going through a registry edit. Then you got to open up Microsoft, then Windows, then highlight Windows Defender folder. And in the top center pane, double click Windows Defender schedule scan. Now you go to the triggers section, and this is where you can specify what time of the day. Do you want it daily? Of course, do it every night. Click that, pick a time, and then click apply and save it. And now you will have scheduled scans of Windows Defender. That link I'm putting into the chat room, and that's going to be the second link for the night. This opens up a few things. If there's tasks that you want to regularly do, that maybe it's another program, this is the area where you can schedule that. This is lots of good stuff. So explore the task schedule library and take a look. This is a great way to automate regular tasks that you want to run on your system. I thought that was worthy of talking about. I have been spending the last few days helping clients with Windows 10 to get their networking back. And at first, I thought it was just Wi-Fi. It is not. This impacts Ethernet connections also. There was an update, a patch that Microsoft put out a few weeks ago that interferes with the driver for the network adapter in your laptop. I have to thank the voicemail, the person that sent me the voicemail last week. He was dead on with the fix. You have to turn off fast startup. The instructions in the next link I have exactly tells you what to do. You got to go to control panel, go to power options, choose what the power buttons do. Then on the right-hand side, you got to pick change settings that are currently unavailable. Scroll down to the section that's titled shutdown setting. Look and untick the box beside turn on fast startup. When Windows starts up and you have that checked, the wrong driver is loaded. And this is a problem with Microsoft. They've finally admitted it. And I think they said they released a patch this past Tuesday. No, they didn't. Or, well, they might have released it, but it has not fixed the problem. Because I have systems that, as of yesterday, had all the latest patches applied and still had this problem. It is a known problem, and this is the fix. There could be other issues that you happen to be working with on a system that can't get an IP address. There's lots of things, but if it's Windows 10, check this first. It still could be something else, but this is the first thing you check. Three systems yesterday and another one today. As a matter of fact, I just text a client who texted me having his problem with Windows 10, can't find any of the Wi-Fi adapters. I texted him what to do right before the show, and he's applying that. I haven't heard back yet. I kind of muted my phone, so let's see. And he says he's going to try the fix, but I don't think he's got to it yet. But I should be hearing another text message come up saying, hopefully, Mike, hey, it works. It fixed. Thank you, Microsoft, for keeping me busy. And I'm sure a lot of you are having the same problems and experiencing the same thing. Now, here's an interesting story, and I don't have a solution yet. It involves Marvin B. in Florida, the man in the van, because he happened to be on the phone with me this past week where I was working remotely on a client trying to fix his Thunderbird send problem. When I describe this and everything we did, you would think that's not that bad. There's things to try and do. Wait until you hear what we tried. And Marvin and I both spent a couple hours together trying to solve this. And we have not been able to solve it. And wait until you hear everything. So he can receive mail from Comcast, but he can't send. He's way under his email limit. Because that's one of the things. Sometimes they stop you from being able to send mail. He can log on to the web and send mail. We can set up Outlook. Outlook is on his system. The man owns Outlook and Office 365, but prefers Thunderbird because he's had Thunderbird for years. He likes that interface better and is more comfortable with Thunderbird. So let's be clear. Outlook, the SMTP settings are identical to the settings in Thunderbird. We are using port 465. We are using the proper smtp.comcast.net. His account name is authenticating. He's got four systems in his house. We only have one laptop that is Windows 7 that is experiencing this problem where we send a message. It says it connected. It says it's sent. We go to the sent items and it's sent, never to be delivered. We do the same thing on the same system in Outlook, and it goes right away, and we get it. I've uninstalled and reinstalled Thunderbird. I completely removed the SMTP account information and recreated it from scratch. I absolutely have the right password, and it is authenticating. I've tried different ports other than 465, but actually that's the most common port that Comcast wants. I tried port 25, I've tried port 587, and I've tried 2525 because I know someone's saying, oh, Mike, try these other ports. We tried them. Matter of fact, I didn't even think of 2525. Marv came up with that. I keep at this because now I can't let it go. Why does the same ports work on Outlook but not Thunderbird? I'm wondering if it's Thunderbird. So I put my SMTP information for my personal Gmail account. Message gets sent and we both receive it. So only the Comcast SMTP on this computer for only Thunderbird will not work. If he takes his laptop even out of the house, it's the same problem. Outlook works. My account works for sending SMTP. His properly configured SMTP account won't work. I'm stumped. Right now, he's obviously using Outlook on that computer, but he's using Thunderbird configured exactly the same way on three other systems in the same house. He's got two desktops, two laptops. I don't get it. I don't understand. It's the first time that I'm throwing up my hands and saying, help. I could use some suggestions. Is it the end of the world? No. Checking firewall permissions. I turned it. Actually, think about this. It's going out via Outlook. It's going out using the same SMTP configuration, but only my account for Gmail. And that works. This is crazy. I'm stumped and I could use some help. That's the Thunderbird story. And by the way, yes, and I'll put the link in the show notes, I've used Revo Uninstaller Portable to remove all traces and everything of Thunderbird. And did a brand new clean install. Set everything up. Same exact problem. Jack in the Box in the chat. said, how about a different Comcast account on his Thunderbird? That's a great idea. I just realized, I believe my son, Michael Jr., has a Comcast account. So I just need someone with another I don't have a Comcast account, but that's a great idea. And I will test that and see if it works. And then we know, is it a problem related to just his account? That's what I'm looking for. What did Marv and I not try to solve this? Here is another story of a Windows 10 activation that actually shocked me. I have a system that I allowed my client a year ago to buy this Dell desktop on his own to save money. It's an Inspiron. It did have Windows 7 Pro on it, 4 gigs of RAM, I forget, like Core i3 or something. And it has never worked properly since the day it was installed. It's for remote access only for the accountant and another person to remote in and run QuickBooks that is on the network there. So we have this system isolated and set with a remote access just for them to get in. I have all the power settings right and it turns off, on and on and on. I can give you a laundry list of problems that we've been experiencing. I said to my client a couple weeks ago, I am putting a different system. I got a nice refurbed Core i5 Dell Optiplex memory. I put Windows 10 Pro on it. We replaced this Inspiron, and it has been working beautifully since the day we installed it. So what do I do with this Inspiron computer? He said, well, can you work on it? Maybe get something working right now. He'll take it home and give it to one of his kids or do something. So literally last night, I said, I have nothing to lose. It had a Windows 8 sticker on it with no key, but Windows 7 Pro was legitimately installed on this. Matter of fact, I think it was bought directly from Dell. I popped my USB Windows 10 install. It installed, and I figured it's going to ask for a key because, and I'm going to have to provide it, and I don't have one. It activated automatically. This was a system with just a sticker saying that Windows 8 is inside, but it was Windows 7 Pro. And I, for the first time on this system, and this is way past the July date, the cutoff, I not only installed Windows 10 Pro perfectly, it auto-activated with a digital license. And the system is running better than I have ever seen it. I just wanted to share that because trying to figure out the Microsoft licensing for Windows 10, I don't think it's possible. I've seen so many combinations and so many things, I'm never surprised anymore. So I just wanted to share that. You have nothing to lose. If you don't care about the data on that system, and maybe it's a new drive, or you could take it out and put another drive in or something, you have absolutely no reason for not trying to put Windows 10 on. Might as well put it on, go for broke, and I'll tell you, it's running so well. I've been beating it up, letting it run all night. I got all the updates on. I got everything ready, and I'm getting ready to look at sending him an email saying, hey, I got the system. It's working great. Let me come by, give it to you, and take it home and give it to someone in the family. You have nothing to lose to try it. Couple things. This is a problem I can't solve, and I actually have my tech Ken actively researching this and working on it as we speak. A client that has Active Directory domain, I migrated a large set of folders with lots of files to a new Synology NAS. This is the client where that NAS participates in the Active Directory and the domain controller that's there. I moved all these files, and now the client is reorganizing the data in that folder. They have full control access to the folder. The users are Windows 7 Pro, and they are having trouble on renaming folders. We thought we had the fix, but the registry entry is not there. There's a couple things I found. We found one link and it had a Microsoft fix it. The problem is the fix it wouldn't download and wouldn't work. And the registry entry that it asked to go, I mean, the whole key's not there. And I didn't feel like creating the key because no systems have it and none of my Windows 7 systems here has it. So I didn't want to create that key. When you try to rename the folder, it says access denied. But if they do it again and again, eventually it works. So clearly they have the rights. They can create files there. They can delete files from the directory. But when they go to rename, it says they don't have access. No one else is accessing that folder. They go back in and they try to rename it again. Maybe again. It might take 3 or 4 times. Finally, it works. This is one of those ones where I'm at a loss. That's why I'm sharing it. I could use some help with that problem. It's really frustrating my client. All right, before I get to the 2 emails, and I do have music and some other things to talk about, let's discuss the new Malwarebytes Pro 3.0. I love the interface. If you have a current subscription, it will support it. But there's a but here. I've deployed this on about 20 client systems and 5 of my own. So I'm running Malwarebytes 3.04 on 25 systems. Some of them were new installs of Malwarebytes with a key. Some of them were existing. So I wanted to see all scenarios, but I have a couple computers that for some reason, the Malwarebytes, it's got a legitimate key, it unactivates, and you have to reactivate it, and it takes it, but it's annoying. Also, I noticed updates sometimes get stuck on a different system where I had to go into Task Manager and kill all the Malwarebytes processes running and then started up Malwarebytes and it got the update. Now, I don't know if this is all tied to the new version. I am listing all these things and I'm sending it to someone I know at Malwarebytes that is on top of it and gets back to me immediately. Couple questions that came up in the chat, I actually got answers for this. If you own anti-rootkit or you have the free version of anti-ransomware protection, Malwarebytes, when you do the install, will automatically remove them because it's all included in the real-time protection. You got web protection, exploit protection, malware protection, and ransomware protection. You have all 4. Make sure before you upgrade, go to the account information and write down or cut and paste or take a snapshot using Snippet. Make sure you have all of your license information saved just in case you hit that issue that I hit on 2 systems where all of a sudden, the activation disappeared. You put it in, it activated, and it worked. And this occasional problem with the updates. I've had that happen on 2 different systems. So I've now had 4 systems that I've had slight issues. Not enough for me to say, don't install it. I'm still giving Malwarebytes 3 a thumbs up on upgrading because of the all-encompassing protection that it offers. And I think this is the way to go than a big, full, bloated antivirus suite. I just wanted to get a couple gotchas. I will feed them directly to Malwarebytes to try to get some feedback. That's it for Malwarebytes. Let's get to 2 emails. This is from Tony in the chat. Hi, Mike. I know of another browser add-on that works just like Web of Trust. It's McAfee Web Advisor. And it's free, too. The only thing different about WebAdvisor is that it is not driven by the public. You don't rate any bad sites and send the results to WebAdvisor as you did with Web of Trust. It has a green, amber, and red icons next to every link, just like Woo. I have been using it since 2002 as it came bundled with new PC software. Hope this helps some of your listeners out there. I know it saved my surfing experiences, my surfing experience many times. Tony, thank you. And that link will be in the show notes. Last email for the night. This is Jets PC, who's usually in the chat. He's not here tonight. Problems with Windows 7 updates. I know this has been an issue for some users. There is only one sure method that has worked for me time and time again. With that said, anytime I do a new install of Windows 7, during the install procedure, I choose Ask Me Later when prompted to select Windows Update Settings. Once Windows start, I use the WSUS offline to do the rest. Very simple. Thank you. And this is Scott, who's Jets PC. Scott, I have done exactly what you have said. I'd have to say it's been a few months ago, and that did not work. Carrie Holzman discussed a method, and there's a link in the last Tech Vets that we recorded this week. You definitely want to visit tech-vets.com, listen to that show, and look at the links in the show notes because there are some valuable tips there. Given that, Carrie has a different procedure than me. My procedure, I talked about a few weeks ago, and it was from a listener, that I have had it work 100% of the time. There are 8 downloads. And I know it sounds like a lot, but once you get these little files, you put them into a directory and you run them in order of the knowledge base number. Bang, 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 bang. But while I'm running them, I have the network cable unplugged. Reboot on the last one, plug the network cable in, and updates work. I think if you talk to 10 people, you're going to get 10 different methods. Everybody finds something. There's got to be a commonality amongst all of these solutions where it's probably 2 or 3 critical updates that have to be run first. If it's working for you and you're happy, then you keep on doing it. But I'm going to keep on sharing different methods from Windows 7 as I try desperately to migrate everybody to Windows 10. For the good or bad, at least I'm going to experience the same problem across everybody's system, like breaking the networking. Once you have the solution, you can at least deploy it to everyone, like the Windows 10 fix that I talked about earlier in the show. Interesting. I want to play my annual Christmas song that is my favorite Christmas song. And last year, I don't think I got a chance to play it. Give a listen to the Trans-Siberian Orchestra's Christmas Canon, and then I'll be back to wrap up. was the Trans-Siberian Orchestra, A Christmas Canon, one of my favorite Christmas songs because the base of it is Pachelbel's Canon, which is one of my all-time favorite songs. With that, I want to thank everybody for downloading and staying subscribed to the podcast. Just in case this is the last show before the holidays, before Christmas, I want to wish everybody a happy and safe Christmas. But before we go, there's lots of time. It's December 15th as I'm recording this show. You have plenty of time to go to Amazon to buy a gift card for a stocking stuffer, to buy gifts that can be delivered easily before Christmas. Use my Amazon link, amazon.micnation.net. Your price stays the same, but a small commission comes back to support the show. I so greatly appreciate it. You guys have been really coming through using that link last month and this month. Thank you. Thank you so much. I really appreciate it. It really helps support the show, and that's amazon.micnation.net. Next show is going to be New Year's Eve, where I intend to spend all night online with you. If you can join, maybe you get back from your New Year's Eve party and you come by, and I'll still be online maybe. I will start broadcasting at 10 o'clock. I'll record my show, and then the post show will be ringing in the New Year's across the time zones across the country. That's it. Have a great, happy holiday. I'll see you back here New Year's Eve. Thank you so much. Bye-bye.
You've been listening to The Mike Tech Show, a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. Please visit techpodcast.com.